This extract from Darwin's Beagle Diary covers his famous visit to the Galapagos Islands in 1835. Contrary to popular legend, the 26-year-old Darwin did not appreciate the wider significance of the Galapagos until much later. He did not become an evolutionist there. In fact, no one believed that Darwin found evolution in the Galapagos until a century after his visit there. Equally, Darwin did not pay particular attention to the island's finches that now bear his name. Darwin's finches, as they are now called, were first dubbed this in 1935. Yet the Galapagos were one of the most enchanting places visited by Darwin, and many readers first read about them in his book. The islands were obviously of recent volcanic origin, and the species of reptiles and birds had no natural fear of man. It was like travelling back in time. Conservationists may cringe at the way Darwin and his contemporaries treated the Galapagos creatures, but at the time it was not appreciated just how unique and special they were. For example, some thought that the tortoises were just the stray descendants of Indian Ocean tortoises released as a food source on the islands by earlier buccaneers.
September 16th, 1835. These islands at a distance have a sloping uniform outline. The whole is black lava, completely covered by small leafless brushwood and low trees. The fragments of lava are reddish and like cinders. The stunted trees show little signs of life. The black rocks, heated by the rays of the vertical sun like a stove, give to the air a close and sultry feeling. The plants also smell unpleasantly. The country was compared to what we might imagine the cultivated parts of the infernal regions to be. Considering the small size of these islands, we feel the more astonished at the number of their aboriginal beings and at their confined range. Seeing every height crowned with its crater and the boundaries of most of the lava streams still distinct, we are led to believe that within a period geologically recent, the unbroken ocean was here spread out. Hence, both in space and time, we seem to be brought somewhat near to that great fact, that mystery of mysteries, the first appearance of new beings on this earth. 17th of September. The Beagle was moved into St. Stephen's Harbour. The bay swarmed with animals. Fish, shark and turtles were popping their heads up in all parts. Great numbers of fine fish were caught. This sport makes all hands very merry. Loud laughter and the heavy flapping of the fish are heard on every side. These islands appear paradises for the whole family of reptiles. Besides three kinds of turtles, the tortoises are so abundant that single ship's company here caught from 500 to 800 in a short time. The beach is frequented by large, most disgusting, clumsy lizards. They are as black as the porous rock over which they crawl and seek their prey from the sea. Somebody calls them imps of darkness, and they assuredly well become the land they inhabit. When on shore, I proceed to botanize and obtain 10 different flowers, but such insignificant, ugly little flowers as would better become an Arctic than a tropical country. The birds are strangers to man, and think him as innocent as their countrymen the huge tortoises. Little birds quietly hopped about the bushes and were not frightened by stones being thrown at them. Mr. King killed one with his hat, and I pushed off a branch with the end of my gun a large hawk. Formerly, the birds appear to have been even tamer than at present. It is surprising that the change has not been greater, for these islands during the last 150 years have been frequently visited by buccaneers and whalers, and the sailors, wandering through the woods, always take delight in knocking down the little birds. 21st of September. My servant and self were landed, in order that I might examine a district resembling chimneys. The comparison would be more exact if I said the iron furnaces near Wolverhampton. From one point of view, I counted 60 of these truncated hillocks, which are only from 50 to 100 feet above the plain of lava. Such a surface has been aptly compared to a sea petrified in its most boisterous moments. No sea, however, presents such deep and long chasms. In my walk, I met two very large tortoises. One was eating a cactus and then quietly walked away. The other gave a deep and loud hiss and then drew back his head. Surrounded by the black lava, the leafless shrubs and large cacti, they appeared most old-fashioned antediluvian animals, or rather, inhabitants of some other planet. 24th of September. came to an anchor at Charles Island. Here there is a settlement of only 6 years' standing. An Englishman, Mr. Lawson, is now acting as governor. By chance he came down to visit a whaling vessel, and in the morning accompanied us to the settlement. This is situated nearly in the centre of the island, about 4.5 miles inland, and elevated 1,000 feet above the sea. The first part of the road passed through a thicket of nearly leafless underwood, the dry volcanic soil affording a congenial habitation only to the lizard tribe. The wood gradually becomes greener during the ascent. Passing round the side of the highest hill, the body is cooled by the fine southerly trade wind, and the eye refreshed by a plain, green as England in the springtime. Extensive patches have been cleared, in which sweet potatoes and plantains grow with a luxuriance. The houses are scattered over the cultivated ground. Owing to an unusual quantity of rain at this time of year, I suspect we have seen the island at its full advantage. I suspect this the more from meeting with singularly few insects of any of the orders. If such luxuriance is constant, this scarcity is very remarkable. The inhabitants are about 300. Nearly all are people of colour and banished for political crimes from the state of the equator to which this archipelago belongs. They complain of the deficiency of money. This, of course, will gradually be ameliorated. Already on average, in the year, 60 to 70 whaling vessels call for provisions and refreshment. The main evil under which these islands suffer is the scarcity of water. In very few places, streams reach the beach so as to afford facilities for shipping. The inhabitants here lead a sort of Robinson Crusoe life. The houses are very simple, built of poles and thatched with grass. Part of their time is employed in hunting the wild pigs and goats. The main article, however, of animal food is the terrapin or tortoise. Such numbers yet remain that it is calculated 2 days' hunting will find food for the other 5 in the week. Of course, the numbers have been much reduced. Not many years since, the ship's company of a frigate brought down to the beach in 1 day more than 200. Mr. Lawson thinks there is yet left sufficient for 20 years. He recollects having seen a terrapin which 6 men could scarcely lift, and 2 could not turn over on its back. These immense creatures must be very old. In the year 1830, one was caught which had various dates carved on its shell. One was 1786. The only reason it was not at that time carried away must have been that it was too big for 2 men to manage. 27th of September. I industriously collected all the animals, plants, insects, and reptiles from this island. It will be very interesting to find from future comparisons to what district, or centre of creation, the organised beings of this archipelago must be attached. Since leaving the last island, owing to the small quantity of water on board, only half allowance of water has been served out, i.e. half a gallon for cooking and all purposes. This, under the line with a vertical sun, is a sad drawback to the few comforts which a ship possesses. We had hoped to have found water here. To our disappointment, the little pits in the sandstone contained scarcely a gallon, and that not good. It was, however, sufficient to draw together all the little birds in the country. Doves and finches swarmed around its margins. I was reminded of a manner in which I saw at Charles Island a boy procuring dinner for his family. Sitting by the side of the well with a long stick in his hand, as the doves came to drink, he killed as many as he wanted, and in half an hour collected them together and carried them to the house. We here have another large reptile in great numbers. Like their brothers the sea kind, they are ugly animals of a yellowish orange beneath and of brownish red colour above. From their low facial angle they have a singularly stupid appearance. Several of them weigh between 10 and 15 pounds. In their movements they are lazy and half torpid. When not frightened, they slowly crawl along with their tails and bellies dragging on the ground. They often stop and doze for a minute or two, with closed eyes and hind legs spread out on the parched soil. They inhabit burrows, which do not appear to be very deep, so that when walking over these lizard warrens, the soil is constantly giving way, much to the annoyance of the tired walker. This animal, when making its burrow, works alternately the opposite sides of its body. One front leg for a short time scratches up the soil, then throws it towards the hind foot, which is well placed so as to heave it beyond the mouth of the hole. That side of the body being tired, the other takes up the task, and so on. I watched one for a long time, till half its body was buried. I then walked up and pulled it by the tail. At this it was greatly astonished, and soon shuffled up to see what was the matter, and then stared me in the face, as much to say, "What made you pull my tail?" 8th of October. At last we reached James Island. Myself, Mr. Bynoe, and three men were landed with provisions, and we proceeded into the interior parts of the island. Our walk was a long one. At about 6 miles distance and an elevation of 2,000 feet, the country begins to show a green colour. Probably at an additional 1,000 feet elevation, the springs are situated. They are very trifling ones, but the water good and deliriously cold. During the greater part of each day, clouds hang over the highest land. The vapour condensed by the trees drips down like rain. Hence we have a brightly green and damp vegetation and muddy soil. So great a change with so small a one of elevation cannot fail to be striking. I enjoyed 2 days collecting in the fertile region. Here were many plants, especially ferns. The tortoise, when it can procure it, drinks great quantities of water. Hence these animals swarm in the neighbourhood of the springs. They are so strong as easily to carry me. In the pathway, many are travelling to the water and others returning, having drunk their fill. The effect is very comical in seeing these huge creatures with outstretched necks so deliberately pacing onwards. When they arrive at the spring, they bury their heads above the eyes in the muddy water and greedily suck in great mouthfuls. During our 2 days there, we lived on the meat of the tortoise, fried in the transparent oil which is procured from the fat. The breastplate with the meat attached is roasted. It is then very good. 11th of October. The Mayor Domo took us in his boat to the Salina, about 6 miles down the coast. At the bottom of a crater is a lake, which is only 4 inches deep and lies on layers of pure and beautifully crystallized salt. The lake is quite circular and fringed with bright green succulent plants. The sides of the crater are steep and wooded, so that the whole has a rather pretty appearance. A few years since, in this quiet spot, the crew of a sealing vessel murdered their captain. We saw the skull lying in the bushes. We all were busily employed during these days in collecting all sorts of specimens. October 12th. The little well from which our water was procured was very close to the beach, and the surf broke over and spoiled the fresh water. We should have been distressed if an American whaler had not very kindly given us 3 casks of water and made us a present of a bucket of onions. Several times during the voyage, Americans have showed themselves at least as obliging, if not more so, than any of our countrymen would have been. Their liberality, moreover, has always been offered in the most hearty manner. If their prejudices against the English are as strong as ours against the Americans, they forget and smother them in an admirable manner. October 17th. In the afternoon, the Beagle sent in her boats to take us on board. The ship's head was put towards Tahiti, and we commenced our next long passage of 3,200 miles.